The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by you. We're seeking sponsors to support our mission to share the stories, passions, and personalities of the people shaping Boulder's unique tech scene. If you'd like to be part of this project and reach a growing and enthusiastic audience, shout at us via Twitter at Boulder Tech Cast or send me a note at joel@dojo4.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. Glad to be back after a nice holiday respite. Happy New Year to you. Our guest for episode 59 is Ben Woods, Technical Director, North America for Holmes Solutions, the creative engineering arm of the Holmes Group, a collection of companies with over 500 employees in offices around the world, including Boulder, where Ben is based. Holmes Solutions has done all sorts of things, from demolishing vehicles to improve road safety, testing jetpacks, developing a human catapult, and more. Ben tells us about why this little-known but highly industrious company from New Zealand chose Boulder for its U.S. headquarters and how it views its relationship to the Boulder tech community. Holmes' innovative approach to developing tech platforms for easy transfer across industries and sectors, and specifically how they envision transforming their work in the adventure recreation sector, aka thrill rides, into cutting-edge public transportation, and how this transportation solution could be the answer to a lot of Boulder's traffic-related issues. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Ben Woods from Holmes Solutions. Ben's here today to talk about transportation alternatives, a specific one that Holmes Solutions, your company, is working on. Before we get into that, just tell me a little bit about Holmes Solutions and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Holmes Solutions is part of the Holmes Group of Companies, which is an engineering firm that's got offices in New Zealand, Australia, the US, and Europe. And the Holmes Solutions part of that group is focused on product development and developing new technology.
Anything that our listeners might know that you've done?
That's a tricky one, because the type of work that we usually do is often in partnership with other companies. So we develop the technology in the background, helping these other companies take products to market. So there's lots of things that we can't talk about.
Right.
But yeah, definitely products and systems out there that you'd recognize.
Can you give an example of?
One of the local ones here in Boulder is a climbing product, so the True Blue Auto Belay that's used in all the rock climbing gyms around the world. That's one that's manufactured by a local company here in Boulder called Headrush Technologies, but we did the original design for that product and developed the technology for it.
And I also understand that Holmes Solutions has done a lot in the area of kind of adventure recreation. Yes, that's the term I was looking for.
Yep.
So that's zip lines at the kind of the basic end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that expands into some other cool and fun rides and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here today to talk about adventure recreation, as much fun as that would be. But we're here to talk about this alternate mode of transportation that Holmes Solutions has been developing for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And am I understanding correctly that this new mode of transportation has evolved from the adventure recreation area?
Yeah, there's definitely some crossover there. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is, yeah, we've been thinking about this sort of urban transportation system for a long time, but developing technology for kind of the public sector is quite a tricky thing to get funded. So what we like to do is share technology platforms across industries and across sectors, and that way we can basically have it funded better and get the technology developed. And once it's developed in one sector, we can transfer that across. So in this case, we've been in the private sector and doing some work in the adventure recreation sector developing this technology. So it has an application for zip lines and amusement rides, but then taking that technology and transferring it across into what could become a public transportation system.
So the mode of transportation that Holmes has been working on is these transport pods.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be incorrect to say that the easiest analog for that is they're sort of like gondolas?
Yeah, the best description I think I can come up with is if you think of the best parts of a gondola, a zipline, and an Uber. So it's a pod that's suspended below a cable or a rail, kind of like a gondola is, but it can move at speed along that, like a zipline. But then looking to have it on demand, like an Uber, so you pull up your app and you order a ride and it comes and picks you up at a station and then takes you to where you want to go.
So it's these individual pods, and the technology that these run on, if I'm understanding correctly, is that's sort of adapted from the adventure rec realm, is this cable to rail technology.
Yeah, that's probably the key part to making this whole platform work, is the ability for this pod to be able to travel along a tension cable and also travel along a rigid rail system and be able to transition between those two seamlessly. And the reason for that is a tension steel cable is a super efficient way to span quite a long distance. You can hold it taut at both ends and then you can span a long distance without any other support. So that's really the key advantage of the tension cable. And then combine that with a rigid rail system, which allows you to go around corners and allows you to switch paths, and also gives you a stable platform when you're coming into a station area or a pickup zone.
So it differs from a ski gondola, whereas a ski gondola is just point A to point B, no turns or anything like that. This is something that would be very... you could lay it out however you wanted to.
Exactly. You can basically build a network, a spider web of cables and rails, and then you can pick your path through there to go straight to your destination.
How far along is the development of this technology?
So it's something that we've had in the works for a while, and as we talked about earlier, it's been implemented in the adventure recreation industry as an amusement ride. But taking that technology and scaling it up to a full transportation system, that's still got probably a couple of years worth of development before it comes into the real world.
I'm trying to think of a place where transportation is a big topic of conversation and people are complaining about traffic. I don't know, maybe like a place like Boulder, for example. So why would Boulder or any locale want to consider this sort of technology?
It would be best suited for places where it's quite tricky to disrupt the current infrastructure or the current city. So if it's a place where it's going to be a challenge to build a new highway through the center of this place, that would be ideal. And being able to basically use the 3D space instead of being restricted to the ground plane for the transportation means you can fly over the top of what's existing without disturbing what's there.
And because it's a pod suspended above, I imagine this is running not on fuel.
Yeah, so this will be electrically driven, battery powered system.
So it's good for the environment.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other benefits of this technology to a place like Boulder or anywhere?
Well, that definitely is a key one. Being battery powered means there's no local emissions from the system, so it can keep the city clean.
And it's also my understanding from reading the information about this that this will also result in decreased infrastructure costs because this is overhead and you're basically putting up poles and wires, to be very basic about it. So it's affordable. It's not like building a train or something like that. And it also perhaps helps with I read this when I was reading about this, it helps solve the last mile problem. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the benefits of the system is that it can be scalable depending on the capacity that you need for the system. So you can have multiple lines for a high throughput route, but also you can have one or two lines stretching out to any locations that you want to go. So it could be taking people from a main transport hub and then out to the destination that they want to go, and ideally getting them within a mile of their destination.
And what's the capacity of these pods?
We're looking at what the ideal number is for a pod like this, and at the moment we're thinking about a 4 to 6 person pod, gives you a good balance between getting a high throughput on a busy corridor, but also having the flexibility, say if only one or two people want to get to their destination, you're not transporting a large pod just for one person.
Right. So it's kind of, it would be more like Uber,
the
carpool version of Uber.
Exactly. You could have the option to take it by yourself if you want to. So if it's late at night time and you're trying to get home and you don't want to share a ride with anyone, you could do a single person ride, or you could do the shared option.
Have you approached any cities, any municipalities about the system and implementing it, and what's the response been?
Yeah, we've got some early engagement with a couple of cities, and the response has been super positive. There's definitely cities in the US in particular that are looking at alternate ways to move people around that have a low impact on their city. So early engagement's also important, so that by the time the technology's ready, we've also worked through the permitting and the compliance aspect of it.
I can guess the answer, but are you able to say which cities you're talking to?
Not at the moment.
Are you able to say if Boulder is on the list or not?
It's on the list that we're interested in, for sure.
Because someone who's lived here a long time, seen the population grow here, the congestion, all of the inbound traffic every day, and so this sounds like a really cool solution to that. And I know I've heard this idea floated before. I've heard it even several years ago. Someone, you know, what about a gondola in Boulder? It hasn't seemed to go anywhere, but now it seems like, oh, well, actually that technology might be here. How does it deal in snow and high wind especially?
Yep, there's definitely environmental considerations. Snow, not a trouble. And wind is something that we're investigating on how to keep the whole system stable.
Right, so it's not clear yet whether the system would be able to run in, say, on a high wind day.
Yeah, in terms of safety, it's always going to be safe. It's more about the passenger comfort and how to keep it stable so people don't get disturbed.
Yeah.
And the beauty of taking this technology that has also had development in the adventure recreation industry is that in that industry, people are always about the thrill and maximizing the thrill. So in that industry, we're trying to make the rides as extreme as possible.
Right.
And for this, it's almost easy because you're taking a step back from that and just slowing things down and making it all more gentle.
Right. We really don't want any thrills with this ride.
Exactly.
Other than the fact of how cool it would be to just be cruising along in a pod above Boulder and getting to where you need to go and not
exactly.
sitting in traffic. And
yep.
keeping the air clean and all of those good things.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I noticed that I thought was interesting in the literature is that it's not just a decreased infrastructure cost, but it also, the fact that it requires less infrastructure means a lot less emissions. And basically the construction sector is responsible for a big part of our emissions. And so this would reduce that.
Yeah, when you look at CO2 emissions, concrete is a huge contributor to that. So I'm looking out the window here and I can see an overpass for a road beside the studio here, and the amount of concrete that's gone into just getting that overpass to cross over that road is huge. So if you replace that with, say, one or two tension steel cables, that's a massive reduction in emissions just from the construction.
Right. So I'm envisioning a system like this in Boulder, and it's exciting to me. I think it would be something that would be really cool and feels like a quick fix solution, not like a temporary solution, but just mm-hmm. like, well, here's a very, because we were promised this train 10 years ago,
yeah.
we've been paying for it, and the train's not coming for a very long time, if ever. And so is this something that you say you can span a lot of large distances with the steel tension wire?
Mm-hmm.
How large of a distance are we talking about in terms of this pod?
Yeah, so there's a balance there between the distance that you can span and the throughput of the system. So basically, if you have more of these pods closer together to get more people down a path, then the supports need to be closer together to support that weight. So looking at a high throughput sort of system, the spacing between the supports is probably around 600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're looking at a lower throughput part of the system, you could extend that out to, say, 2,000 feet between the support.
Okay. Let's say in the future this is something that there's a system in Boulder, and there's one in Louisville, and there's one in Broomfield and Denver, and all down the 36 corridor. Would it be possible and practical to connect all these systems, or would there be sort of an intermediary transportation mode that would get you still from Boulder to Louisville, and then you could still use the system there?
It would be possible to connect all those systems. There's going to be a certain distance at which point it might make sense for a mass transit system to connect the hubs, but certainly from Denver to Boulder, that's realistic.
So what is Holmes' grand vision for this pod system? Like, where do you see this in 10 years?
The vision for us is to see this starting to be implemented in any major urban environment that has an issue with getting people from mass transport hubs out to their final destination.
Okay. And so now I want to ask you a little bit more about Holmes itself, because it's the company is based in New Zealand.
Yep.
And you have, I believe, 500 employees spread across 15 offices worldwide.
Correct.
And you have a little office here in Boulder. Do you know how that came about?
I do, because I was the one that started it.
Ah, okay. Well, let's hear that story.
Do you want the strategic business reason to be here, or the other reason to be here?
Both.
So from a business standpoint, the type of work that we do at Holmes is not necessarily tied to a geography, but we do have a number of clients in the US here, but they are dotted all around the country. So having somewhere central in the US and near a good airport made sense for us, so we could go and visit these various clients. So Denver, Boulder area made sense for that reason. The other part to that is there's a huge tech scene in Boulder here, which is the industry that we're in, obviously. So being in amongst that makes sense for us as well.
Is Holmes doing a lot within the tech scene? I've been curious about that.
Yeah, so we're focused on the product development and the technology development, and in the more in the physical side of it, so mechanical systems.
Okay. This is the Boulder Tech Podcast, and there's definitely a certain sense of community in the tech and startup scene here in Boulder. Does Holmes view itself as part of that, or you're sort of these guys nestled up against the mountains, and every now and then, you, when it's appropriate, you are engaging with these other tech companies because it furthers your initiatives and your goals? But do you consider your Holmes to be like, yeah, we're part of the Boulder tech community, or do you just happen to be a tech company in Boulder?
We're looking to become more part of the tech scene here. So we've only moved an office to Boulder recently. So definitely looking to become more part of that scene.
How long has the office been in Boulder?
About 2.5-3 years.
And how long have you been in Boulder?
About 3 years.
Okay. What are your impressions?
I love Boulder. Yeah, it's a great place for a number of reasons. It's a great place to live for all the recreation that's on offer, the mountain biking and the skiing and the hiking. But it's also a great place to be with like-minded people who are doing cool things in the world.
Definitely. Have you lived anywhere else in the US?
Not in the US, no. I came straight from New Zealand to Boulder.
Okay. And so what else would you like listeners to know about Holmes Solutions or this pod system that you're working on? And where can people find out more about what Holmes Solutions and is doing?
We've got a website, so homesolutions.com is probably the first place to go.
Okay.
And yeah, we're always interested to meet people and hear about what others are up to, so give us a call.
Excellent. Ben Woods from Holmes Solutions, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having me.
That was Ben Woods, Technical Director of North America for Holmes Solutions. Learn more at homesolutions.com and follow them on Facebook at Holmes Solutions LP. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.